than murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you all for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcast, and Spotify.
It's like we rehearsed that.
Oh, yeah, you know, it feels like an old...
Overcast. What started that? I'm always curious. What started that? Is it just because we like to say it?
No, you like to say it. Me,
no,
not
you
me.
Like to say it. You say it all the time. Overcast.
I will admit that is my podcast app go-to. I do use Overcast more than I use any of the other ones. So
it was Overcast yesterday.
Yeah. Well, it's a little bit sunnier at my house right now, but it's that's going to line up for some storms this afternoon, hopefully. So we'll see what happens. But hey, we're recording today. Happy Star Wars Day! It is May the 4th. May the 4th be with us, and hopefully, the Force is with the Ravens with this draft class after this past weekend. Before we get into the draft, though, we'll definitely going to talk about the draft. Before we get into that, before we recorded today, some news broke from the Ravens app, and supposedly the Ravens are targeting for next season to have fans in attendance. It looks like they are hoping for full capacity. The COVID numbers are going down. Vaccines are going up. So it seems like everything is moving in the right direction. But Josh, I'm sure you saw it. I'm sure you probably heard about it before I did, since you're a PSL owner. But what's some of the information you know about what's coming up for this upcoming season? I mean, I'm hoping that means you're going to be in the stands in your full Batman outfit. Hopefully, I get to go to a game or two this season. But what's going on? What's the latest on what they're expecting with next season?
Yeah, man. Exciting news. We know Roger Goodell kind of put a blanket statement out for the league saying he expects fans back in the stands for 2021. We've kind of seen things moving there with some states, right? We know Texas Rangers had a full stadium for their home opener. We just know UFC just had a full house for the crazy card down in Jacksonville, Florida. 15,000 fans there for UFC. We know Texas has been hosting some capacity stadiums. We know I was for opening day for Camden Yards. We know Camden Yards is some capacity. So we're seeing concert venues coming back this summer. So like you said, moving in the right direction is the key. We're not regressing and moving backwards and staying back in the Stone Age like in 2020. Yeah, so it's exciting news. Pretty much I know the same amount as you, even though I have a PSL. I got an email pretty much this morning saying kind of like the same deal when the news broke. It said this, it was labeled 2021 season preparation stadium capacity message. Pretty much in a nutshell, staying like where preparation's going on for the new season. You know, we expect fans here. We're going to continue to follow, you know, state and local agencies prepare to host fans safely. You know, the safety protocols and such will still be in place. Hand sanitizer measures, cashless and all that. And I mean, and they call out just what we talked about. The email calls out the Super Bowl hosted 25,000 fans in February. As we know, the email didn't say this, but we know WrestleMania was in front of fans. WWE was coming back this year for the first event with fans in over a year. So things are starting to come back. They call out Major League Baseball. They're talking about Pimlico for the Preakness. We just know the Kentucky Derby was just run. Preakness is going to be having fans. They call out Merriweather Post Pavilion here in Baltimore, a great outdoor venue for concerts. They're coming back in July with some hosting events. And, you know, there's a lot of things happening here. So schedule's getting released next week. May 12th is the date. So we are days away from that. So now we'll know the dates there and then get excited. But yeah, email pretty much blankets what we all know and what was put out on the Ravens website. I'm certainly excited to see how it is, but I haven't been contacted from a rep as far as like what that looks like. I mean, my season tickets are more than paid for. I'm fully set to go. I mean, we get the ninth game, home game against the Rams. So that's exciting. We get more football this year. So, you know, we're gearing up, man. We're looking to come back and be back better than ever. And I'm telling you what, man, the first time that we could see a full house in Baltimore at M&T Bank, man, it's going to be emotional, man. It's going to show that we've come a long way with this COVID crap and put it in all behind us and all steam ahead, man. It's going to be exciting.
Yeah, I mean, it is good that in the next, I think, next 2 weeks, there will be fans at Preakness, at the Pimlico, and that's in Baltimore City. Merriweather Post, that's in Columbia, so it's a different county. And even though Governor Hogan can kind of put out some blanket statements, it is up to the jurisdictions as the Baltimore City, Baltimore County, Harford County. They kind of decide how far they want to go with each measure. So, we'll see what the governor has to say. We'll see what Mayor Brandon Scott has to say about what happens in the future. But it looks like we're moving in the right direction, which is some fantastic news. Anything can change from now until September, but things are looking up, which is really, really great news. And I'm very excited about that. And like you said, the schedule's coming out next week. So be on the lookout again. We'll be doing a show talking about the schedule next week. But hey, I like the fact that the Ravens are preparing, and in that email and that post that they posted on their website and on their app, I do like the fact that they are going to keep a lot of the same trends that they had for the one game they were open this season. So we are going to see, you know, mobile tickets and cashless convenience and like merchandise and that kind of stuff in the stadium, a lot more hand sanitizing stations. I mean, their bathrooms before COVID were pretty wretched. So if they can upgrade some of that stuff, that'll keep people safe and people will feel more comfortable going to games as well. So I think all of this is moving in the right direction, which is great. Now, another piece that news that broke besides the draft broke yesterday, Amazon Prime purchases Thursday Night Football for the next 11 years for $1.2 billion. Billion with a B. So you have to be an Amazon Prime member in order to watch Thursday Night Football from this season on. This season was supposed to be on Fox. Fox backed out on that deal. Amazon raised their hand and were like, hey, yeah, I'm down for that. We'll take it. So Thursday Night Football will be exclusively on Amazon Prime for the next 11 years. So the streaming wars continue to heat up. Josh, I don't know if you're a Prime member or not. I am. So, I mean, I was able to order.
It's convenient, right? Especially with the movies out now. I know there's a new Tom Clancy movie out, No Remorse or Without Remorse, with Michael B. Jordan. I'm yet to watch. I mean, and it pays for itself, bro. You get 2-day shipping, dude. I ordered something on this Sunday. It's out for delivery today, 2 days. Where on the actual website, if I go to the product's physical website, it would take 2 weeks to ship from Florida. So it's ridiculous how that works. You get the membership, you get the videos, you get the shipping. I'm a primer. I contribute to their annual revenue. But telling you what, you want an interesting stat. You said $1.2 billion a year. I got word Amazon will spend $1.2 billion a year on Thursday Night Football rights. That works out to be 0.2% of their expected 2021 revenue.
Wow.
Try to do that math.
That's insane.
Yeah, dude, 1.2 billion times 0.2 people. It's insane. So they're making money by the second that we can't even blink fast enough. So Amazon's a giant. They got Thursday Night Football. Folks have been asking me how I feel about it. I mean, I know, remember last year there was some experiment with that some of the games – we're showing Amazon Prime. I think it was like either Saturday, one of the Saturday games. Yeah, it was the Saturday football. It was the Cardinals and Niners.
Cardinals and
yes.
Was the Dolphins game on there too?
It might have been. I remember the Niners game because one of my buddies is a Niners fan. He went to go to Cigar Lounge to try to watch it, and he found out it was streaming, and he's like, what's up with that? So so that's how I found about it, and I had Prime so I could watch it. So I know they experimented with it. I mean, I have Prime, so I don't have an issue with it. As a whole, I don't know how I feel about it yet because, I mean, it's easy for me to be on that side, right, because I'm a Primer, so it doesn't affect me. I'm like, okay. But for the people that don't have it now, it's like, okay, now you got to pay, what, is it $12.99 a month? Not only get the Prime services, but then now you got to get Thursday Night Football. So it's like not only addition to Barry, which you're paying with other streaming, now in order to watch one football game a week for 4 months or 3.5 months, however it goes on, you got to pay that $12.99 a month. So to me, I can see where people would belly ache with that, because it's like, well, if I don't shop on Prime, I don't want to be an advocate for them, you know, but in essence, we know what Prime gets you. So it gets you the expedite shipping, it gets you the videos, and then you get Thursday Night Football. So it's intriguing to see the NFL. I never thought it would do that, because I was like, there's so much money involved. So we talked about this before, right? There's so much money involved with the revenue, with the TV deals. It's like, I don't know if they ever go full-time streaming. It's tough, because it just would be, you know, you see the mega deals that are made, and then all of a sudden, here you go. Thursday Night Football is a small piece of the pie of the NFL moving to that. So, and then we know like NBC just re-upped for Sunday Night Football through, I don't know what year, but I know they signed a mega deal for the extension. So, and then we know ESPN gets the rights for Monday Night Football. And then think about it, right? Remember ESPN, there's a big deal made, what, in the offseason? ESPN gets the rights for a Super Bowl, and they get two Super Bowls within that TV rights, right? So ESPN will have a Super Bowl. You know how the major networks fight over that, you know, Fox, NBC and CBS fight over the rights for that. Now ESPN, I think it's in 2024, if I can remember, they are actually airing the Super Bowl. So if you don't have ESPN, can't watch Super Bowl. So things are going crazy with the TV deals. Not going to be surprised if later down the road that these TV deals, you know, kind of go away and we see more streaming options that, like, you get a whole package for, you know, NFL on Hulu or NFL or whatever. But then not only that, but I feel for all the bars and restaurants, right? Because then they got to call an audible and switch. As how do they show the games now? Because a lot of the bars and restaurants either operate off of still the Dinosaur DirecTV, which, you know, still obsolete. And then a lot of them obviously have the cable boxes. So it's like, how do those businesses adjust to accommodating their patrons of, okay, now I got to go for streaming. So then they got to re-up and figure out what to do there. And, you know, do they have one account for every TV, or I don't know how that works. So it's going to be interesting to see how that trickles down and affects that industry as well. And in I know COVID kind of also made us call an audible, right? Because we couldn't go out to bars and restaurants. We had to watch games in different capacities. So, you know, you might see, you know, I hate to have the bar and industry hurt here, because we're trying to come back and get them some money made, right? But I would hate to see it hurt, but I wouldn't be surprised if, because of the streaming, more people just sit and watch it at home, because it's, yeah, I got to pay for it anyway, might as well use it. And because if the bars and restaurants have a problem with it of transitions, and if some don't have the capacity to do it or don't know how to do it, we're going to see Sundays and the major nights on, you know, Thursday, Monday, and Sunday night, we're going to be hurting a little bit with the NFL crowd out and about. So we'll see how it goes. You know, one of the things to monitor is probably a staple here, Baltimore, see what Jimmy's does. See how Jimmy's adjusts to that. I'm actually, you know, really good friends with co-owner John. You know, I might actually ask him directly, you know, it's like, hey, you guys show Thursday Night Football in 20, what the deal takes over in 2022, right? It's not this year, or is it this year? I know they expedited the year. Is it 2022?
I think it's 2022.
Yeah, I don't think it's this year. So if anything, I just want to ask those industries how they're planning to adjust to that. So it's quite interesting. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, you know, as somebody who works in television, this kind of thing is just crazy to see, because it's I say it starts in 2022. We're seeing basic cable and we're seeing broadcast television go away. And as somebody who works in that field, it's kind of terrifying to see that. But, you know, we've had some big conglomerates like Comcast and Warner Brothers and Disney kind of gobble up all these little companies. But hey, content is king, and the NFL is taking advantage of that. I mean, you can't blame them for that. So it'll just be a new way to watch the game. And they've done Thursday Night Football for the last couple of years. So hopefully any kinks that they may have had with streaming or buffering or anything like that, or bad signals, hopefully they were able to fix that in the last couple of years. I guess the only other thing before we start really getting into the draft is the fact that Lamar Jackson's contract has been re-upped for that fifth-year option. Were you surprised at that at all? And what are you expecting to see here? Because it looks like, I don't know how contract negotiations went before this, but it seems like the two sides are going to need a little bit more time, and this is the way to get it.
No, I'm not surprised at all. In fact, It was kind of confirmed. If you're one to listen to the Rich Eisen podcast, John Harbaugh was in the Rich Eisen podcast and actually foreseen this happening. You know, not to go for those "May the Fourth be with you" Jedi powers and foreseeing the future here. You know, pretty much, yeah, he pretty much called it, saying there will be a fifth year option, and that is to basically keep him here, obviously, not go to free agency, and then get a long term deal done. So it's kind of the alternative for, you know, franchise tag, because franchise tags are used in free agency. You know, before the player goes to free agency, they franchise them to keep them here. And obviously that 1 year tender, you know, the average of the top five salaries in your position. So they, going into it, obviously a rookie, they can exercise the fifth year option. I know the Falcons decided not to do it for the co-first round pick with Lamar, with the Ravens and Hayden Hurst. So Falcons not exercising it with Hayden Hurst down there in Atlanta, Ravens doing it with Lamar with hopes of delaying, or not delaying, but buying more time for the team and him and his agent. I actually believe he don't have an agent. I think him and his mom are pretty much in that regard, co-agents in that regard. He's a self-agent. But, yeah, it just gives them more time to get to the negotiation table and create a long-term deal. And then with the Ravens and our financial situation, how that looks on the books this year and beyond. So, but, yeah, exercising fifth-year option. I was excited to see it, but I expected it to happen, so it was no surprise to me.
All right, so here we are. Let's talk about it finally. Draft weekend is over. The Ravens made some big choices. Overall,
there was a big choice in there.
That's very true. Overall, what did you think, though, for the entire draft class? Do you think the team has gotten better past this weekend?
Oh, absolutely. I feel like they had to get better just because they did fill in gaps of what they lacked. I mean, you know, they addressed – a couple of big needs, edge rusher and wide receiver, and right there in the first round. You know, there was speculation during the draft. A lot of questions are coming my way. What do the Ravens do? Do they trade both to get a crazy package for a superstar? Do they draft one and trade one, whether it's the 27th or 31st? What do you expect to do? Do they draft the 27 and trade 31st back to get more picks and fall into the second because they don't have a second and they're right on the cusp of the end of the first, early second? I actually said no. I think it's rare that you get two first. They trade Orlando Brown to get that pick from the Chiefs, and I think they stick there, and I just think they draft two players for the value. And that's exactly what happened. They drafted two players, first wide receiver out of Minnesota, Rashad Bateman, and then Jason Owe from Penn State, edge rusher at 31st overall. I think they got good value there for the two picks. You know, what I do is I tend to, as soon as the picks are made, I go right to the pundits, right? I see what they got to say about it, yay or nay, thumbs up, thumbs down. Everybody's got their opinions, right, across the board. Just knowing very little about Bateman, you know, I kind of went back to the board, looked at him. Obviously, Minnesota, they're in the Big Ten with Maryland. There are some highlights out there of him catching a crazy touchdown pass against Maryland here in Maryland, against the Terrapins. It was, you know, he's got some highlights. I mean, he's got some one-handed touchdown catches. I think the dude's a viable option to help address the passing game that's ranked 32nd, right? And funny, Eric DaCosta was asked about that. You know, you mentioned bringing in free agent wide receivers could be an insult to the guys here, but you have to add guys, right? You have to add competition. You have to add depth. And not only that, but the Ravens fill a void with Owe where they lacked in pass rusher in the offseason, right? Judon went to the Patriots. They added Yannick Ngakoue during the season last year, but then he's golfed the greener pastures. I know they brought several people back on the D-line, you know, Derek Wolfe. They brought back L.J. Ford. But they let a few guys go. I think Jihad Ward. Yeah, Jihad Ward went on to some greener pastures there and another team. So, you know, there was addition by subtraction there. So they drafted two needs right there in the first round, wide receiver to address the passing game, edge rusher to fill the gap there. I think it was a well-deserved first round for the Ravens in their needs there. You know, there was some other speculation of other players sitting there they could have drafted. You know, all the name thrown out there was Aziz. Remember, Aziz was thrown out there, and he was still on the board at the time. A lot of people were like, "Oh, we're going to get Aziz," and Bateman. A lot of fans were praising it. So, you know, we'll see what happens when it pans out. But given the video that I've seen, I saw the footage with Jason Away being drafted. He said, "You know, you're going to get a lot out of me. I promise." The concern on him, right? And we're going to talk about this. I'm going to ask what you think about. I'm going to focus on Away right now. First off, he goes by Jason, but his real name is Odafe. Odafe away, so I can see where you can kind of get the names slurred a little bit there for him. So Jason by ease, but his name is really Odafe away out of Penn State. But I do know several friends of mine and acquaintances who are Penn State season ticket holders. I went right there and was like, look, I don't know anything about this guy. Share what you got. The concern in 2020, we knew 2020 was a hybrid schedule for college football. He had zero sacks last year. But apart from that, he was praised as being a freak athlete, and he's got raw speed and talent. So looking at his highlights last year versus 2019, he can get to the quarterback. He was pressuring quarterbacks. He caused a few fumbles, caused a few incompleted passes, caused the quarterback to get uncomfortable and move. Some of them were caused, you know, how it's zero sacks. Some were caused by the quarterback making adjustments, not getting there, but he pressured him. So, again, when I was talking to my friends last night about this, I'm like, what about Owe? You know, zero sacks is concerning because they were bringing up that if you can't get to the quarterback in college, how are you going to get the quarterback in the pros? Because it's a big step up, right? So that's a concern. But then I kind of was taking the approach of like, well, there's more to the tape. If you look at the tape, he had the pressures. He was back and he was being disruptive, even though he didn't log a sack. Do we want to measure specifically on, okay, if sacks directly or if he didn't have any sacks, is he a bust? I don't know. But obviously the Ravens drafted him knowing he didn't have any sacks last year in the condensed schedule of 2020. You know, what's your take on that? You know, not to discount Bateman and what he can bring to the offense, but just the way and what he can be disruptive.
You know, I don't watch very much college football. I really don't watch any college football, to be honest. So I don't know a lot about this guy. When you are on Twitter, though, and he gets drafted, that is the first thing you see is that, you know, there were zero sacks from the season before. So, yeah, that's a big concern. But honestly, I think this draft class is just a giant question mark because it's coming at a time, you know, the COVID situation, there weren't full seasons, if there were seasons at all for certain players. Some players have opted out. So we really don't know a lot about this class, but that's might actually work out in the Ravens' favor because I was listening to the Lounge podcast that Ryan Mink at Garrett Downing put out, and they said that the Ravens like to take players that, you know, kind of are missing something, that are still a work in progress. So if this guy shows a lot of, you know, like the freak athletic ability like you brought up, if Owe, you know, didn't get those sacks before, maybe the Ravens can bring him in, teach him the Ravens way of doing things, and he can latch onto that and really make an impression that way. The Ravens don't want, you know, players to be stuck in bad situations. They don't want them to have bad habits. They want these players to come in that are still evolving, that are still learning, and, you know, they're not coming in stubborn thinking, you know, I already know everything. So this guy coming in, yeah, he may have not had the greatest year last year in college, but he's coming in kind of as an open book, and the Ravens can kind of write a new chapter as they see fit. And if this guy does have that drive and determination that you need to be a Ravens player, then this might be a steal for the Ravens. You know, it really might be. Only time will tell, but, you know, I'm not counting this guy out by any means whatsoever right now because he had a bad season last year. Let's see what he can do in the purple and black and gold, and hopefully he can be a playmaker. You know, he's got very big shoes to fill, you know, with this team. So we'll see how it happens. You know, this is going to be a very interesting season starting up, and hopefully he's up for it.
Yeah, man, absolutely. And, you know, speaking of big, right, going from the Big Ten of Penn State and Minnesota, and I felt like it's kind of crazy how the first two picks were the Big Ten, but going down the SEC, speaking of big Ben Cleveland, talk of the draft here, man, and out of Cleveland, or Ben Cleveland out of Georgia, one of the biggest Bulldogs ever, and when we mean big, 6'6", 346 pounds, almost 350. The dude is a massive giant. I mean, just looking at his size, I mean, he's a big beast. He is, you know, athletic. He's cut. He's lean. Dude, when he was picked, man, looking at their reaction of Ben Cleveland being picked, It was absolutely ridiculous. I mean, you know, number 94 overall, you know, the guard out of Georgia. Yeah, he's listed at 6'6", 357 to be exact. Dude, I mean, if you can solidify your offensive line with this guy, and you saw the pictures, right? I mean, the dude is a tank, a beast. Glad to have him here. And as of right now, he's projected to start on the offensive line. So not bad for a third round pick, 94th overall. Could it be a starter here for 2021 for the Ravens? Absolutely. Probably my favorite pick of the draft. This is absolutely insane. I love this pick. Ben Cleveland is going to be probably the new favorite to watch from the line.
Yeah, that's what I'm hearing.
Did you see his film?
No.
The dude was just like throwing defensive guys. Like there was one, I have to dig it up on Twitter. I'll share. I don't know what game. I think it looked like it was Iowa. I can't remember. Probably totally off base there, but with the opponent. But yeah, he was blocking this guy and literally just like shoved him, and the guy went flying. And I'm like, I love this guy. I want him blocking for Dobbins, and I want him blocking for Lamar like right now. So probably the best pick right here. And I know when the Ravens were shown on the screen, the war room, when they picked this, Eric DaCosta was all smiles and they were high-fiving. And yeah, this one was a steal, I believe.
And obviously Orlando Brown Jr. Leaving town, going to Kansas City, leaves a giant hole. And from what everyone's saying, this guy Cleveland, he's going to be able to fill that hole and then some. And, you know, again, I listened to the lounge earlier. They're saying, could he be, you know, on the Mount Rushmore of offensive linemen? They're like, no, he might be Mount Rushmore. That's how big this guy is.
He probably reached up and built it. He's that tall.
Yeah.
But you want to, speaking of that, Ben Cleveland was involved in that, because if you look at the makeup after the draft now, here's how it fell now. Now, starting, you know, obviously we have to get to Wade later in the draft, but looking at the Ravens and Chiefs draft picks that they traded, right? The Chiefs got Orlando Brown. They picked linebacker Nick Bolton, and then they received our 22 sixth round pick. The Ravens received picks in 2022 in the fourth and the fifth round pick. But right now, they drafted Jason Away, Ben Cleveland, and Sean Wade, the corner out of Ohio State. So not bad. Not bad upgrade. Letting the tackle of Orlando Brown go, getting a guard in Ben Cleveland. But not only that, but later we have the other breaking news. We added another tackle today. You know, former Steeler Andre Villanueva. Alejandro Villanueva signed a 2-year, $14 million deal. Former Steelers, we know. He is now a Raven. And that was speculation of late in the draft. Everybody's like, why aren't the Ravens addressing tackle? Where's the tackle? So are we going offensive tackle here? And it never happened. And it was led to believe that the Ravens have a deal in place post-draft that they're going to sign one of these guys, free agents, and it happened. So not only that, but the Ravens upgraded their line, you know, double sum. And right now, just, you know, keeping on the conversation with Ben Cleveland in the line, the Ravens offensive line can look like this year. Ronnie Stanley, Ben Cleveland, Brad Bozeman moving to center, Kevin Zietler and Villanueva. Wow. And then you got other guys there, Ben Powers, McCarry, Cologne. You've got guys there that could be filling in the ranks. So this line is looking pretty beefy, and I'm excited.
Well, listen to this also. Ryan Mink tweeted this out on Sunday. He said, so the Ravens, after trading Orlando Brown Jr. and not drafting an offensive tackle, apparently got the offensive tackle who followed Orlando Brown Jr. at Oklahoma as an undrafted rookie. So Adrian Ealy, I believe that's how you say his last name, the Ravens picked him up when he was not drafted. So there you go. You took the guy who took Orlando Brown's spot at Oklahoma. Now you got to bring him in, and he could replace Orlando Brown and be a starter this year if he has a good training camp. So you know the Ravens love to get an undrafted rookie, and they love to sign them and have them play almost every single game. I think they've done that, what, for the last 16, 17 years, something like that? So this is not something new for the Ravens. They do this all the time. We could see that guy in the lineup as well.
Absolutely. And sky's the limit for the potential of the roster. I mean, these guys coming in, the Ravens know what they're doing. I mean, we get it, right? You have every right to have opinions, question, you know, about this pick, about this signing. But the Ravens have the front one of the best front offices, if not the best front office, for a reason. There's a reason why they draft perennial Pro Bowlers and find some Hall of Famers there as well. So, you know, we got to trust the process as always. But you can still question some of the picks and signings they do, but still respect the front office. You can do both. You know, not to say, you know, you, because you question a pick or question a signing or question money spent by the team, doesn't mean the front office sucks or the team sucks or they're going down the drain and they're throwing away success. I mean, we can really question, like, oh, was that good value there? I don't know. I would have liked this guy better. You know, that's the beauty of sports talk. That's the beauty of opinions. And that's the beauty of, hey, if you ran a team, what would you do? You know, one of our podcast followers, Rickard Olson, he was on Twitter. Me and him were talking on Twitter today. You know, he would have signed Kelly over Villanueva, the former Titans. So, and he mentioned that, you know, when the Titans went up against the Ravens, you know, he allowed no sacks against Judon. Judon really didn't get any quarterback sacks and pressures. And he was going to be cheaper than that. I was familiar with Villanueva, and I mentioned because he is, or he was, not a current divisional foe. So I knew all about him and I've always liked him. So we'll see what happens there. You know, was it the correct signing? But, you know, again, yeah, I feel like the Ravens they're addressing their needs one by one, and who are we to judge? But opinions are always good.
Another, you already brought this up just now, but no center was picked in this draft. So like you said, it seems as if Bradley Bozeman, he's our guy going forward that's going to be playing center. I believe he played center in college. So we'll see what happens. But it seems like the Ravens are happy with him at center now.
Well, somebody's got to move to center unless you want to play for him.
I'll take it. Yeah, give me $1 million.
You better not miss snap that ball and get Lamar hurt again. Yeah, that was horrible. As soon as I saw those two bad snaps in a playoff game, I screamed, yeah, we better get a new center or else. I'm like, yeah, he better be off the team. And obviously he is off the team. Skur is gone. But I was just like, come on, man. You got one job. Snap the ball. Like, give it to the quarterback. You know, whatever. I don't know what that was. Jitters, but it's all water on the bridge. It happened in the past, and he's gone. But, yeah, they got to do some shuffling on the offensive line, see what happens there. Moving on, again, 10 picks later in the third round, Ravens had an opportunity to select Brandon Stevens, corner, out of SMU. And if you watch the video, this was the pick that a lot of fans were questioning, like, why would we go corner there? There's this value here. There's this player there. Why? And then, of course, the flip side of that was you can never have too many corners, right? And John Harbaugh has always alluded to that. You know, corners can go down, as we've seen with Tavon Young with two out of the last three seasons, cannot stay healthy. So we do need some help there. And also Brandon Stevens was rumored to, you know, not only that, but also play free safety so he can move around. We can have some special teamer there. There's always room. But – I don't know if you saw the footage, but when I saw the video that the Ravens put out of the footage of Eric DaCosta calling him with his family around, and that stuck with me, and I'm following and echoing what some people said on social media, I'm rooting for this guy. I'm rooting for this pick because of that. Not only that, but he's out at SMU. Eric DaCosta in the video said he picked James Prochet, his former teammates, Brian, about him and Brandon Stevens directly. So, again, you can never have too many corners. I think this was a depth pick as well. Plus, with the move, you know, with the free safety moving some guys around there, and then with the question mark around Tavon Young, can he come back again from his injury because he's been off injured? And you know, we already have one of the best secondaries in football. Why not add to that? It's kind of like, you know, it's kind of like the stronger get stronger there, right? You know, they got, you know, Marlon Humphrey, they got Marcus Peters, they got Jimmy Smith, they got Deshaun Elliott, you know, they got, you know, the players there to make the plays. And I feel like Brandon Stevens is just going to add depth to already strong secondary for the Ravens. And I'm really excited what he can do. But again, after watching his draft video, him getting emotional, and that's all more for me to root for the guy. Yeah, and that's so the beauty about the business. I love it. You're making somebody's dream come true, giving them a job, their dream job, they're playing football. And that's what Eric DaCosta said. I think John Harbaugh did that. He gave the phone back because he was on speaker and listening to his family's reaction. And John Harbaugh says, like, that was powerful. That's pretty cool. Like, that's wild. And that's right. And they were kind of alluding to, this is why we love doing what we're doing. And this is why the draft is awesome. When they make these phone calls and be like, hey, what you doing? Hey, you're going to be a Baltimore Raven. And everybody goes nuts. And you're giving these guys a dream, an NFL shot. You know, there's, if you look at it, there's a graphic out there. I don't have time to go into it, but there's a graphic of, like, I saw it when the draft was up. I think I have a screenshot of it somewhere. I have to share it with you, Brandon. There was a screenshot saying, this is how many high school players are average in a year in the U.S. It was like over a million. This is how many, you know, are college football. This is how many get, you know, get scouted by the NFL. This is how many get drafted. This is how many make it the year four of the NFL. It's like this percentage gets smaller. Like, it is really tough to even get 4 years consecutively as a veteran in the NFL. So, you know, that's why these kids get emotional. This is why it's a great time. And, you know, whether you hate the pick or not, you know, it's somebody's dream being made. You know, somebody's job is on the line. You know, they're trying to make money, trying to provide for the family, trying to make their dream come true and being an NFL superstar. So, NFL player. So, Brandon Stevens, it was a big question mark at the time. I'm a fan. We'll see how it pans out. It was rumored him to be versatile as a summary on him. We'll see. But he's a corner out of SMU. He stands at 6'1", 215. See what he brings.
And we're not going to skip over the next guy, the wide receiver, but we went from Brandon Stevens, a cornerback wide receiver, and then we drafted another quarterback, after that in Sean Wade. So, like you said, it looks like they're stocking up. I think Tavon Young is just a giant question mark. I mean, how many seasons has this guy lost due to injury? You know, if he is a little injury prone, I think they're kind of stocking up on cornerbacks because you never know when this guy's going to go down or when he's going to be able to come back. And cornerback is a very tough position. So, I mean, you need that depth there.
You do. And not only that, but Sean Wade, when he was picked, a lot of people were saying he was a steal there, corner out of Ohio State University. So, yeah, you're right. They got two of them there. Can never have too many. Agree with you. Tavon Young's big question mark with the skill set that Wade can bring, 6'1", 190. He doesn't really bring that physicality to the team. I can't remember which one of these corners was alluded to, but I heard the comparison of Chris McAllister brought up. Can't remember which one of these guys is connected to, if it was Stevens or if it was Wade, but either or, there was comparison to former Raven Chris McAllister. None of these guys are big hitters or finesse, but with the NFL being faster and more speed-wise, we hope that these guys can provide in the speed we need. But, you know, right in the middle, you know, drafted in the fourth round, over 131st overall, Oklahoma State, Tylan Wallace, however you pronounce his name. I'm going to go Tylan Wallace because it sounds better than Tylan. But Tylan Wallace, you know, again, shoring up the receiving corps is going to be interesting. A lot of people, once this pick was picked, once Wallace was picked here, they were saying there might be battle for the sixth spot. It might be, I think it was Prochet, a mix of Prochet, Duvernay, and Boykin on the bubble here. So somebody's job's on the line. There's going to be competition. But the night before he was drafted, Dez Bryant, who is an alum of Oklahoma State University, my apologies, he tweeted he was surprised that Tylan Wallace was still on the board. Then a day later, he's drafted by the Ravens, his former employer, who gave him his last chance in the NFL. So that's awesome how that came full circle. When he was picked, there was a lot of guys that were actually saying this could be another steal late in the draft, another playmaker. I saw his highlights. I'm a fan. I'm hooked. I liked what he can bring. Again, another playmaker to address the 32nd passing attack of the Ravens. Lamar's got to get better throwing the football. Now it seems like the Ravens are bringing guys to help him get there, right? It's a two-part process. Lamar's got to get better making the reads, throwing the football, picking apart the defense, but these guys got to make plays for him. And not only that, but in the afterthought, it was forgot that we've added Sammy Watkins. So Sammy Watkins are being healthy. Look, we added a veteran receiver. We got these guys here, Bateman and Wallace. We have Marquise Brown. We have Miles Boykin. We got Devin Duvernay, who emerged last year. We have Gene Prochet. We got the receiving core to do it. Yeah, I love this pick late. Loved everything about him, and even more so with the glowing recommendation of one Dez Bryant. It goes a long way.
Absolutely, and it seems, hey, you know, Lamar, we trust in you, and we're going to give you the tools to work with. So here
he's got to get better. That's no doubt. Yeah. He's got to get better. I mean, you know, time's running short in patience with, you know, fans in general. You know, it's, you know, you can run the ball all day, but at the end of the day, you've learned how to pass the football to be successful, especially in the postseason in the NFL. Got to be more efficient, got to be more confident under center in the pocket, especially in the playoffs. And not only that, but it goes to your guys. You know, he's got to be confident in his guys getting the ball to him, getting it down the field, and making this play. So we'll see what these offseason workouts and training camp and as we move forward to a full NFL season and see how these guys pan out. I'm excited to see what they can bring in practice and on the preseason field.
All right, so the Ravens have two other picks so far left in the draft that we have to talk about. We have another edge rusher, and we have another fullback tight end that got picked up. So let's talk a little bit about the edge rusher here. Dylan Hayes, from what I'm reading, they're saying that he's a character guy, and he potentially could have a lot of upside. And the Ravens are kind of – they need that depth at edge rusher right now. They lost a lot of pieces, and – you know, this could be one of those guys that, again, the Ravens could mold into a player that becomes a long tenured NFL player if he can, you know, come up to the Ravens standards and if they can use him correctly. So he has a lot of upside, apparently, and he seems like a good pick for an edge rusher that the Ravens were really happy about.
Absolutely, and he comes from a storied franchise in Notre Dame. You know, looking at footage of all these draft picks, Hayes again. Adding depth on the D-line, edge rusher. We know we had three subtractions as we covered in the beginning of the show. Adding another one this late in the draft, a pure depth move, seeing what he can bring. Could be a piece of the puzzle later down the road. It could be a situation where, you know, he could be used, you know, who knows, he could be used on special teams. There's always a place there for a player if it doesn't work out. And like to see the success that Hayes can bring to the team, pure depth move. Adding Ben Mason to the end, you mentioned before, the fullback tight end hybrid, there was mentions of a comparison to Pat Ricard and a nod there. Oddly enough, he wore 42 for the Wolverines in Michigan. Pretty crazy, huh? Tight end. Dude, 263, 256 is what he's listed at. I mean, the dude's a tank, tight end, fullback. Hey, it's always great to have another Pat Ricard on the team. So Ben Mason out of Michigan, you don't think for a second that John picked his brother, Jim, and picked his brain a little bit to ask him about Ben Mason up there from Michigan. So could have a horrible inquiry there. Who knows? But I guarantee it probably happened. Picked up the phone and said, hey, bro. Give me the lowdown on this guy, Ben Mason. But it was some of the word on the street about Ben Mason. It was, quote, the baddest dude on the field at all times. That does not exemplify what it means to play like a Raven. I don't know what it is, and I hope he can contribute because I love that. If he's the baddest man on the field, baddest dude on the field, hey, I love to see it, see what he can do. So shoring up the end of the draft, I really like the guy. You know, we'll see what he can bring here. So overall – summarizing a draft, I want to hear your grade. Because of the unknowns, they addresses some, you know, they address some needs, right? I'm going to give a solid B plus overall. Don't want to venture into A or A minus category because I didn't get that earth shattering home run move. Like they drafted somebody and I was just blown away. Like they kind of did when they traded up to get Lamar in 2018. It was just like, what did they just do? Oh my God, changed the future of the franchise and the makeup of the offense. Like, that was earth-shattering. It's the same way when they traded back and then back up to get Flacco in 2008. You know, when they make these moves, you're like, oh, you know, nothing really jumped out of my seat. But when the draft happened, I was like, okay, that's solid. Like, I wasn't, like, disappointed or like, who? Or like, eh, that doesn't make any sense. Like, some of the other fans of other teams were whining on social media when their draft picks happened. They were, like, furious. So, really didn't get that feel for me personally as a whole. So, I'm going to give a solid B-plus grade overall for what they've done this year. And because of the unknowns of these draft picks, to see what they can bring, just what I know, solid B-plus.
Yeah, I mean, I'm probably going to go with a B as well. I mean, only time will tell if what happens with a lot of these players. I will say I am a little surprised that the number one pick was a wide receiver. I mean, we talked about it last week. The Ravens are so rarely able to pick a wide receiver that makes an impact in the first round or really any time in the draft. So, I mean, for them to go for a wide receiver again, will this guy break that curse? We'll see. Only time will tell. But I thought they were going to go with edge rusher as the first pick. But sure enough, just a couple picks later, we got that edge rusher, in the first round. So I think the Ravens realize where there are holes, where there is difficulty for this team, and they did their best to try to address that. So I'm really excited to see what happens. The last guy, though, I think it's interesting, you know, Ben Mason, that they do get another fullback because you brought up Patrick Ricard. This is a contract year for him. So maybe this guy is an insurance policy if Patrick Ricard's looking for a certain amount of money and the Ravens aren't willing to pay that and he goes somewhere else. You know, we saw that happen with the guy with – what's his name from the 49ers? Kyle Juszczyk. We saw him leave town and leave that position open. The Ravens are one of the few that still use that fullback position, but could Patrick Ricard want more money elsewhere? You know, we'll see what happens. So this guy's kind of interesting. And just to think, Bronson Rick Steiner, if he was just a year later, this could be his spot. He went undrafted last year. The Ravens picked him up. He didn't even make it to training camp because Patrick Ricard was healthy and everything was good. And now he's over in WWE NXT training to be a professional wrestler. So, I mean, anything can happen, but it'll be interesting to see what they do with that fullback position. But the Ravens, they have some holes. Hopefully we'll see in some training camp videos in August to see what these guys can really do. I think OTAs and all that kind of stuff are still being canceled or the players are not – they don't really want to play or practice at that time due to COVID, which is understandable. But we'll see what happens. I'm excited to see what these guys do, though. It's always good to bring in some new puzzle pieces and figure out what to do. And we know Lamar's talents. We know what he can do, giving him the tools to – be a better quarterback and a better offense. Hey, I'm all for it. And hey, let's see what the defense can bring as well. These guys that are coming in, they got some great talent there, some veteran leadership on the defense. You got guys like Calais Campbell there who can really help these guys out and show them what to do. You got guys like Brandon Williams that show these guys the ropes. So they're coming into a great organization. That's why we're fans. So it's all up to them now of whether or not they are able to go all the way or not.
Absolutely, bro. And I certainly can understand that. You know, with the aftermath of the draft, speaking of the grades, I mean, you know, pundits were right on that borderline, right? You know, just going down the gamut, just per Ravens.com, getting the information from some of the media right there. NFL.com, Chad Reuter, A. Sporting News is Vinny Iyer, A- there. Mel Kiper Jr., obviously Maryland, Baltimore native. The grade is a B+. So I did not know that until I just pulled it up, so didn't copy up. But me and Mel share the same grade as a B+. Pro Football Focus, a B+. The Ringer's Danny Kelly, B+. There's a B- from Washington Post. There's USA Today going way down with a C+. Yeah, so there's a lot of B+s there. There's an A. There's an above average. So it's across the board, but across the board kind of sounds like an average B+ kind of rating for the Ravens there. Not only that, but on the back end of the draft, they did – land one of the top, if not the top, undrafted free agent signing. According, before we get to that, some of the notes from the draft, ESPN's Todd McShay is one of the counterparts to Mel Kiper with the draft analyst, saying Tylan Wallace was the Ravens' best pick, so he believes that receiver for the best value down there. Rashad Bateman and Odafe were the two of the biggest first-round steals, he believes, as well for the Ravens. So take it for what it is, but the paid analyst thinks that the Ravens got some good value and some steals there. Not only that, but the Ravens added an undrafted player out of TCU. It's a safety, a Darius Washington. He was listed as number one on the list of best undrafted free agent signings, according to Pro Football Focus. And it was number two. He was number two on the list, according to CBS Sports. So according to Pro Football Focus, he was rated number 57th overall prospect. So he went undrafted. The Ravens, you know, kind of, again, adding to the secondary. So there you go. The Ravens added the safety post-draft, doing some work on the back end. So overall, according to the media, there were some steals, there were some value, there were some B and A grades there. I think at the end of the day, the Ravens addressed the positions that needed to. I don't think there was any holes unfilled. There's people out there that were like, "Well, didn't draft a defensive tackle or an offensive tackle?" Well, they just signed Villanueva today. I had inside information just following Twitter that there's a reason why the Ravens weren't, is because they probably had a deal on the back end already. Wait till Monday to happen. Obviously, Tuesday, the deal was official. So defensive tackle is probably the one that probably leaves you with the big question mark, like, what are we going to do there? But knowing that they re-signed Derek Wolfe, knowing what they've done in the linebacking core, we'll see what remains to be seen. But overall, can't be too you cannot be not pleased with this draft. I think overall, the Ravens filled the needs what they needed to. They didn't really leave you with a sense of like, well, what about this? Well, what about that? So it was more like, okay, we got the guys to replace what we needed to. We addressed some needs. Let's go see what these guys can do. So that's what it leaves me.
Yeah, I mean, I'm happy with what the Ravens have done, and let's look forward to the next season. This is the first step until we get football back again. So we're getting closer. We're getting closer, everybody. So, Josh, have we covered everything for this episode of The Call?
Quote the Raven, nevermore.
All right, guys, if you want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. And Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
Always at IttalianGQ52.
Now go over to our Facebook page, facebook.com/thecallpodcast. Like us over there. Whenever a new show comes out, you will be the first to know. And we're always posting anything that we find out that we think you guys will be interested in. Like, did you know last week's episode of The Young Rock was the first time that someone was playing Ray Lewis in the show? So they're kind of recanting The Rock's entire life from being a kid to his high school and college years. And he walks into the weight room at University of Miami, and he goes, "Hey, what's your name?" Guy looks over to him and says, "Oh, I'm Ray Lewis." I was like, "Oh, hey, yeah, I know that guy."
That's pretty awesome.
So that was kind of fun to see. So check out that episode. I think you can watch it over on NBC.com for free. So check out The Young Rock, and you can check out, tell us what you think. Does that guy look like Ray Lewis or act like Ray Lewis? Let us know.
Well, you remember The Rock put out an article. Remember that with his Miami days? He's saying, like, who would think no one was harder to work in the room until he went to the gym at 5 a.m. and Ray Lewis was already there in his right. Miami Hurricane days. I remember seeing it was posted a few weeks ago. So check that out. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, The Rock and Ray, those guys know the gym, and Ray's a workhorse, and he's still doing it.
You remember the story from a couple of years ago when The Rock made his triumphant return to WrestleMania in Miami? Ray Lewis was supposed to walk The Rock to the ring, but for whatever reason, that didn't happen. But the two of them were supposed to
be. I would have died seeing that. I would have been like, done.
That would have been really cool.
Exactly.
But hey, we do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcast, and Spotify. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Write us an Apple Podcast review, and then let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Twitch and TikTok, anywhere you're social on the web or with your phone. Say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I listen to The Call, and you should too. So that's it for this draft special of The Call. We will be back next week when the NFL schedule is officially released, and we're going to talk about who we're going to be facing, when, where, all that good stuff. And hopefully, fingers crossed, hopefully, the fans will be in attendance for those games. We're getting closer. So everybody, Josh, you got to get us ready. Take us out the way you always do.
A lot of pressure. It's a lot of pressure, man. Thanks a lot as well. Before I do close out the show, like I always do, wanted to bring up Sarah Ellison, who used to obviously cover the Ravens. She tweets a lot of great information. I love the information she puts out. Speaking of about Villanueva, there was a knock on him about his pass blocking was great, but his run blocking wasn't so stellar. But she just put out a comparison between Orlando Brown and Villanueva. Just listen to this. 2020 overall Pro Football Focus grades, Orlando Brown 76.5, Villanueva 74.6. 2020 sack rate, Brown had 3 sacks per 514 pass attempts or allowed. Villanueva also allowed 3 sacks per 714 pass attempts, so better rate. ESPN 2020 run block win rate, Brown had was number 21 and Villanueva was ranked number 18. So for a veteran, not a bad upgrade. And we know what the value we got the draft from the trade with Orlando Brown. So overall, I'm excited to see what this new crop of Ravens can bring. And as you have it, the 2021 draft has ended. And we've had some great conversations this weekend. You know, fans, you know, whether they're praising a pick, questioning a pick, you know, acknowledging that it fills a need, seeing where these guys can go. But at the end of the day, no one really knows, right? That's the exciting part. The draft is over. Eric DaCosta was masterful. You know, there was only one trade the Ravens really did. They traded with the Cardinals to drop back a little bit. But they kept the first two picks. And, you know, as Todd McShay feels, they got steals for the picks that they put in there. And the aftermath. I would love to hear what y'all have to say about it. I mean, we have great conversations on the Facebook post and on Twitter. It's been great to be in communication with you guys and connection and having these conversations and going back and forth. It's been fun. And as we move forward to getting fans back in the stands, seeing these baby birds grow for right for our eyes and these rookies and seeing what they can prove. I really, really excited to see what the offseason can bring for the Ravens. And now that we have getting back to some sort of normalcy for the football ranks with the off OTAs and training camps, hopefully going on as scheduled. But as Brandon alluded to, draft is over, addressing needs with the team. Now we get to find out in a week where the Ravens fall in the schedule and where the opponents, we know that who the opponents are. We get to define where they're being, or, you know, when. We already know where and when. We know the home and away. We know our ninth home game, and that's exciting. This is the biggest season yet from the NFL, the expansion. Taking one preseason game away, adding a 17th game to the ranks in the NFL season. It's going to be exciting. So 2021, a lot of excitement as we move forward here, all steam ahead in the first weeks of May here, scheduled to be released. I'm excited. I know you are too. With that being said, heading into the schedule release with all the excitement of the draft behind us. Look forward. Baltimore Ravens, let's fly high.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to brandocash.com.